We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And today, the United States House of Representatives are supposed to vote on the stimulus, the $2.2 trillion stimulus that the United States Senate passed. By the way, they passed it 96-0. We have 100 senators, but I know Rand Paul from Kentucky. He's got coronavirus. He was in quarantine. He couldn't vote. But very rarely do you see a vote where it's 100% one way. Well, today, the United States House of Representatives, the Congress, are supposed to vote on it. And there's one congressman that may trigger a delay, that may hold this up even longer. And he's from Kentucky, too. He's a congressman named Thomas Massey. And there are a bunch of lawmakers that are furious. Late last night on Capitol Hill, and this guy's a Republican as well, he could go rogue and possibly scuttle a vote on the $2.2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package and potentially endanger other House members in the process. Some people are saying that this guy wants to make a name for himself. One senior source up there in Washington, D.C. said, quote, "It's the Thomas Massey Show." I didn't know this guy's name before I heard this story late last night. He could sidetrack the House of Representatives' plans to quickly approve the coronavirus bill via a voice vote. That's a verbal exercise in which those in favor shout, yay, and those opposed holler, nay. And whatever the loudest side is, that's the side that prevails.
So it's not about the numbers, it's about the loudness?
Well, somebody said, quote, "He's going to do it." Talking about Thomas Massey, the congressman from Kentucky. "Leadership had tried every type of arm twisting and it's not working." High-ranking members of Congress were actively calling other Congress members and telling them to get on airplanes this morning to go back to Washington, D.C. so that a quorum of 216 members could be established if Massey or another member were to demand one. And that's what they're thinking he's going to do.
I mean, did he project it and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing, or they just assume he's going to do it?
He's told other congresspeople that this is what he's going to do. Now, this has already been held up, and it's been held up by the political left. It's been held up by Democrats. In the House of Representatives earlier this week, they wanted to get some of their pork.
Well, if it's true that all he wants to do is make a name for himself, he probably won't go through it because now we already know his name. So mission accomplished. If that was his end game, to just make a name for himself, mission accomplished, you made a name for yourself, then he's going to renege and say, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead on and do it. He already made a name for himself. But if he's honest about what he wants to do, that maybe there's something he doesn't like about the bill.
But what a way to make a name for himself when Americans desperately, desperately need some cash.
He's a politician, John.
When these businesses desperately need some cash to help keep them afloat, to get them through this shutdown. And again, if this passes, $1,200 to each adult making $75,000 a year or less. How do they come up with that number? What if you were making $78,000? What if you were making $92,000 and you lost your job? So it'll be $1,200 if this thing passes today. It'll be $1,200 to each adult making $75,000 or less, evidently according to your 2018 tax returns.
Mm-hmm. You know what's ironic about that? If I get $1,200 back, I'm going to have to use that to pay my taxes this year. So basically, the government is giving me money to give them money right back.
How about that?
It's crazy.
And a married couple would get $2,400 if they're making $150,000 or less. And then if you have a kid, it's, what, $500 or $600 for each kid. Mm-hmm.
And they say unemployment is going to tack on another $600.
Yeah, unemployment is going to act because yesterday, it was reported over 3 million people. Broke the record for the most people in the United States that ever go sign up for unemployment. So it'll be an extra $600 from the feds on top of what the little bit that your state gives you for unemployment. Stay tuned to see if we have this one rebel from Kentucky congressman who's going to hold this thing up today here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here in New Orleans. And it's the time of our show where we look at today in history, and we call the segment...
Why Today
Doesn't Suck.
March 27th.
Why Today
Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 2003, the Rolling Stones postpone their Hong Kong concerts over fears of the spread of the killer flu, a severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, very ironic. That's why I mentioned it. Did you see the meme going around with the Rolling Stones? You've got three of them wearing, it's a picture of all four of them, and they got their arms around each other. Mm-hmm. Three of them are wearing surgical masks, protective masks, and Keith Richards is just smiling. But I found that ironic how that happened today in Hong Kong in 2003. March 27th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, also in 2003, while the Stones were not playing in Hong Kong, John Lennon's childhood home in Liverpool was open to the public for the first time. The late Beatles widow, Yoko Ono, was on hand for the festivities, and she said, how cool is this? Well, I mean, and I bet you there are a few places over there in Liverpool that'll be the way they are for history. Much like Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. They can't change anything there. where John F. Kennedy, when he was president, was assassinated. And there are some things in Liverpool, England, in John Lennon's childhood home at 251 Men Love Avenue. It'd be something living on the street, Men Love. And it's spelled just like it sounds, M-E-N-L-O-V-E, Men Love.
But more importantly, where do you rank Yoko Ono on a hot scale between 1 and 10, 10 being the highest?
I don't.
That sounds about right.
And March 27th.
Why today doesn't suck.
This is very interesting. It was today in 2006. Remember the Village People? The group, the Village People, YMCA and Macho Man? Former Village People policeman, the lead singer, Victor Willis, was arrested in San Francisco after he disappeared from a drug and gun trial. Remember, this was the cop from the Village People. Police had charged him with being in possession of cocaine and drug paraphernalia a year earlier. He would later be sentenced to 3 years probation after they found him, and he agreed to enter a drug treatment program. But talk about irony. Today in 2006, the cop from the Village People, he was arrested because he disappeared from his drug and gun trial.
His cop uniform didn't live up to cop standards. He was missing a lot. Like, he didn't have his vest. He didn't have he did have the billy club and a lot of handcuffs.
Well, that's our segment, Coleman, that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, did you see our mayor in New Orleans on CNN yesterday? She was on there with Wolf Blitzer. And, she was blaming the federal government for the problems that New Orleans has now. Because, you know, as we mentioned on the show and you've heard if you're paying attention to the news, outside of New York City, per capita, New Orleans right now, we're second in the country when it comes to coronavirus. And our mayor was blaming the federal government. We'll explain why coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Medical professionals are saying if you wear contact lenses, you should definitely switch to glasses while we're going through the coronavirus situation. Because the one thing that all health experts agree on is during this coronavirus situation, we should not touch our faces. And if you have contact lenses, your fingers are all up there in your eyes, and you don't want to get it in your eye. If you get pink eye, that could lead to coronavirus in a very small percentage of people. But contact lens wearers are being urged to switch to glasses until this whole thing is over. Coleman, I find on some women that wear glasses, that the glasses make them look sexy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I actually sent a message to one of my Snapchat friends about that. She always takes Snapchats without glasses on, and I texted the one that said, dude, how come you never wear glasses on your snap? She's like, because I feel better this way or something like that. I said, no, I think the glasses fit your personality. And since then, she's been taking snaps with her glasses on.
Yes.
I think I give her confidence.
Yeah, there are glasses on women that are very, very sexy. And maybe we'll go through a list later on. But, hey, coming up on the show, and we're just trying to help you out. So if you wear contact lenses, but you don't touch your face and go to glasses until this whole thing is over with. Coming up, I've got a couple of real good news stories. You know, it's all gloom and doom when you turn on the news. But I've got a couple of stories that are coming out of this that'll make you feel good. Look, I'm an optimist. I know this totally sucks, but I've always been an optimist and a glass half full person. Stay tuned for a couple of stories I think you're going to like here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. We do have a couple of really good feel-good stories coming up because, like I said earlier, I'm an optimist, and I know what we're going through right now totally sucks. Look, it's Friday. How many people are fired up for the weekend when you can't go out? There's nothing open. You can't do anything. But you know what? We're going to get through this. And coming up, I've got a couple of real good stories that I think you'll like, and good stuff. But I saw something yesterday on CNN that I didn't like. And look, I'm not a big CNN fan. I don't watch that much CNN. Because in my opinion, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night you turn on CNN, all they're doing is just ripping the president of the United States, just ripping him. And I mean, yesterday the president gave a fairly uplifting press conference late in the afternoon, and as soon as he was done, CNN just, wow, I can't believe he said this, and I can't believe he said this about the restaurant businesses, and I can't believe he said, well, what's he supposed to be? Gloom and doom like all of the news? No. This is the time when the president is a comforter in chief as well. This is the time. Could you imagine if the president every day when he had his press conferences was just completely gloom and doom like you see on all the newscasts?
Well, the media is concerned now because they're giving him all this free airtime in this time of need, and that free airtime and him comforting the people is making his approval rating shoot up, and now they're trying to curve that.
Yeah, and I know they're not. Anyways, but so I had CNN on, and then here comes our mayor, Letaxta Cantrell, went on with Wolf Blitzer, and you know, he had her on because New Orleans now is number two in America when it comes to the coronavirus, people who have it per capita. We're right behind New York City and New York State. So that's why they had her on, and she was playing the blame game when it came to the coronavirus when she was on with Wolf Blitzer yesterday.
When it's not taken seriously at the federal level, it's very difficult to transcend down to the local level in making these decisions. But when the experts told me that social gatherings would be an issue, I moved forward them, as well as St. Patrick's Day parade, as well as our Super Sunday, where our Mardi Gras Indians parade, the suits that they've made, you know, all year long. So this is something that not only concerns us, but it sets the tone for how leadership matters at every level of government.
She's saying that if the federal government, led by the president, took coronavirus more seriously way back in early mid February, that she would have canceled Mardi Gras because many people believe New Orleans now is number two in America in coronavirus per capita behind New York City because we had Mardi Gras. And yesterday, Coleman, you and I on the show were talking, wondering, how many people already got coronavirus and then recovered from it and didn't even know it? Just thought it was the flu, just thought it was a bad cold, whatever the case may be, because so many more people were in town for Mardi Gras from all over the place, and they could have brought the coronavirus with them.
A few things that bother me about this. One, now I'm starting to realize that in order for you to appear on CNN, you have to bash the president, because we've been watching Cantrell's career since she got in office, and she never mentioned Trump's name, but now that she's on CNN, it's like she's required to say something bad about the president just to be on CNN. And if you start to notice that everybody who's on with CNN has to bash the president. So I think that's a requirement. Two, she sounded too proud to say that she canceled St. Patrick's Day and the Super Sunday. She was bragging about it.
Yeah, she was proud about that.
If you watched the video and watched her body language, it's almost like she was happy to say that she canceled it. Like, yeah, these Mardi Gras Indians, they parade these costumes around, but I canceled it. Like, she was proud that she did it. And the way her tone of her voice, like, I just can't shake the fact that she's not really a true New Orleanian. She's from California. You could just tell with certain things she does and certain things she says that she kind of looks down on the city a certain way because she's not from the city, and she feels like she's better than the people of this city when she comes across like that, you know?
Isn't she straight out of Compton?
Yep.
And I know it's not just me, but when I hear her speak now, her voice kind of gives me a headache. Her voice makes me cringe. And again, she's on CNN all over the world.
This is our second time on CNN too in this week.
Here's the mayor of a major American city, and this woman has not paid her federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years. Who else could get away with that? I couldn't. If you're listening right now, you couldn't. I wish someone would have asked her, hey, are you planning on paying your federal income taxes this year? So there she is. She says she's blaming Trump and the federal government for not telling her about coronavirus because she would have happily canceled Mardi Gras this year on CNN. There she is. Way to go, LaTaxta. Here on Bayou 95.7. Remember, I got some happy stories coming up next. It's New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So rockers are trying to help out during the coronavirus situation, how most of America were shut-ins at this point. Our lives have been put on hold. We've seen some concerts, some internet concerts that we could watch from our living room. You know, Randy Jackson from Zebra here in New Orleans, he's been going on and playing live, and it's pretty cool to see that they want to help out. As a matter of fact, look for a couple of new songs coming out. Billy Joel has a new song coming out, We Didn't Start the Virus. And look for the new Rolling Stones song coming out soon, Gimme Shelter in Place. So coming up next, a couple of feel-good stories as we're surrounded by all of this gloom and doom here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's John Osterlund here with you. And with all of the gloom and doom we see on the news with the whole coronavirus situation here in our country, and yes, it totally sucks. You know, it obviously sucks that some people are dying. It sucks that it's really financially devastating to so many people and so many businesses because of our government shutting down the United States of America as we know it for a while. It's awful. But you know what? And by the way, every day we live through history, but what we're living through right now is going to be in the history books. This will be written about. This will be read for a long, long time. Right now, today, and yesterday and tomorrow, and as long as this goes, we are living through what will be in all the history books.
Here's what I think, though. I think the virus itself is going to be forgotten about within the next year, like SARS, Zika, Ebola. It's going to fall into those categories.
I don't think so, Coleman. Because none of those viruses, mm-hmm. Ebola, none of them shut down the country.
No, that's what I'm about to get to, though. Not because the virus itself, but because of the mass hysteria behind the virus. The virus itself, to me, is going to be just as Ebola, just as Zika. But I think when we go through the history books, this is going to be more remembered as something like the mass hysteria behind it. Like like I told you about the War of the Worlds radio broadcast or the Salem witch trials or things of that.
You think it'll be in the history books because of the mass hysteria,
yeah,
and not the actual virus?
Just like the Y2K deal. You had the Y2K for 2000s. We had, you know, the Salem witch trials. We had the the War of the Worlds deal when everybody when everybody freaked out over something overly freaked out.
Well, look, I'm an optimist, and I'm not a gloom and doom person. We will get through this. Yeah, this totally sucks, but we will get through it. But there are a couple of really good stories that come out of this, and which we always see here in America when something really bad is going on, some good comes out of the awfulness. Did you see where the CEO of Texas Roadhouse, the chain restaurant, the steakhouses, he gave up his salary to help his frontline employees? I think that's really cool. His name's Kent Taylor. He's the CEO of Texas Roadhouse, and he elected to forego his base salary and incentives bonuses to give to the people that are working there day in and day out on the front lines. And because all the waiters and waitresses and bartenders there, they're all hurting because, like every other place, we can't go into restaurants. So I thought that was really cool. And the dollar stores have raised their employees' pay during the coronavirus crisis. Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores. You got to, there's a few different ones, but they're under the same umbrella, which is that umbrella costs a dollar. The Dollar Tree and the Family Dollar stores are rewarding their employees by temporarily raising their pay for their hourly employees and distribution center workers amid the increased shopper demand during the coronavirus pandemic. So those people are on the front lines too. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when you go to a grocery store, you know, you see the people working in there, and they're on the front lines, much like our health care workers right now. You see that are working in the hospitals and our first responders. These people are they're going to work every day, and they're on the front line.
Yep, and it goes to show you that when the demand is there and the companies can profit, they have no problems with giving their employees incentives to keep coming to work and keep doing their jobs. You know, we always hear about the evil CEOs not paying a living wage and all this, but it goes to show you, as long as they got money coming in, they have no problem giving them extra money to
Absolutely.
Go out to help their employees and give them incentives to work.
So good job, CEO of the Texas Roadhouse, and good job, the dollar stores, Dollar Tree and Family Dollar, for looking out for their employees and taking care of them. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I was just reading about the world's oldest living animal. Coleman, do you want to take a guess on what animal is the world's oldest living animal, and how old is that animal?
If I had to guess, I would have to say a shark.
It's not a shark.
Oh, well, then it doesn't matter what the next answer is.
It's a tortoise.
Oh, you mean like living?
I just asked you,
no, I thought you meant
what
like,
is
oh,
the
speech.
World right now?
All right.
On the globe, planet
you,
Earth.
I get what you're talking about. I misunderstood
the question.
Put
the coronavirus question. In All a right. corner for a minute.
I mean, I misunderstood the question.
Right now, the oldest living animal on planet Earth is a tortoise.
Yeah.
All right? And I was just reading about this. It's fascinating. The tortoise is 188 years old. His name is Jonathan. His keepers say he's in good health, but he is slowing down. Can you imagine that? He's 188 years old. He's still alive. All right, coming up on the show.
Slow and steady wins the race.
In this case, without a doubt. We're going to have the latest on the stimulus checks and how to make sure you quickly get yours when the Congress signs on to it, because the Senate already passed the bill, the $2.2 trillion bill. Congress is supposed to sign it today. But there's one congressman who may be rogue and may hold up this whole thing. We're going to give you the details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. In the midst of all of this insanity with the coronavirus, I was watching the news yesterday. And nurses in New York, at hospitals in New York City and Los Angeles, were saying that they're running out of masks, of surgical masks. So I saw a nurse in Los Angeles say she had to use the same mask all day. And that's not healthy. Excuse me for one second. United States of America. Aren't we the greatest country in the world? I mean, we have men walking on the moon. We've invented so many great things. You're telling me that we can't get a couple of million surgical masks not only made, but delivered to the hospitals in New York, New Orleans, Los Angeles, for the people on the front lines. We can't get a couple of million made and delivered within 24 to 48 hours. What the hell is wrong? Who's not doing their job?
Then you have to consider that there are strip clubs and porn sites giving out surgical masks to people. Like, there's a strip club in Florida that was giving out 10,000 surgical masks. Pornhub was giving out 10,000 surgical masks. So how are these porn companies able to have, unless it's a different grade of surgical masks, so how are these people in the sex industry getting more surgical masks than people in the actual medical field?
That's right, Coleman. Look, we live in the greatest country in the world. We should never hear from a nurse saying we're out of surgical masks. We're out of hospital gowns and hospital clothes. We should be able to get a few million of those not only made but delivered within 24 to 48 hours anywhere in this country. Am I wrong?
We should be. We should be. When you consider FedEx, Amazon, yeah, we should. Unless they're doing like everyone else is doing, they're downsizing their staff because of social distancing. So wherever these surgical masks are being made, if their buildings are saying, hey, we have to run a skeleton crew, you know, because we have so many employees that we can't allow so many people in the building, that could affect the production.
Well, whether they have to socially distance while they're making them or worry about the consequences later, because most people who get coronavirus are not going to die. The elderly, the people with weaker immune systems, those are the people that you don't want to see get the coronavirus, because they're going to have the toughest time fighting it off.
And it should be
but most people who get coronavirus are not going to die. They got to chill out for 3 days, maybe 4 days, and then they're going to be looking at Sean Payton.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The raw materials are easy to get. You can get them from Walmart, some string, you know, the fabric that you can find in an air conditioner ventilation system, some, you know, the poke holes in it, tie it around.
If I see one more nurse on television saying that we don't have any hospital masks, are you kidding me? We should be able to produce, make, and deliver millions of them within a day or two.
Or they could do like some women in China, just cut their bras in half and use the bra padding as the mask.
Do whatever. Underwear, use whatever. But that's part of the gloom and doom that I've been seeing on the news. And I'm sitting on my couch saying, really, in America, we can't make a few million masks, surgical masks, hospital masks, not only make a few million, but get them delivered within 24 to 48 hours? Of course we can.
I mean, if somebody has the insight, please text us and let us know.
No.
260-9595. If you work in the medical field and there's a shortage of masks and there's a good reason why, let us know. I'm curious.
And if you're listening right now, are you a Generation Xer? Are you Gen X? I am. They're saying that our demographic is handling this whole coronavirus situation the best out of all the other demographics out there. And I'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So I just mentioned how I'm watching the news yesterday and in hospitals in New York and even here in New Orleans and out in Los Angeles, they're saying that they're running low on masks. And the people that are dealing with this, the healthcare workers, there was one nurse in Los Angeles, a doctor, they were saying that they have to use the same mask all day. And I said, really, in the United States of America, where we have cars that drive themselves, we put people on the moon, we can do anything in this country. How is it possible that we can't make a few million masks and then have them delivered within a day or two, 24 to 48 hours? Someone texted, Coleman?
Yeah, two things. One is we have a lot of text response from registered nurses, and it's saying that the mask that they're talking about is called the N95 mask. It's not your general surgical mask that we wear. So we will wear a mask that would stop us from spreading the virus if we were to have it. They're looking for an N95 mask, which helps them filtrate the air that they breathe in while they're in the medical field.
So then make them. Make both types.
All right. Well, here, this text says, You have a finite capacity of machines. If you run 24/7, you will still only produce so much. And production has increased because of the demand. The demand is far exceeding the capacity. So they're saying that even if you ran every machine that had to make these masks 24/7, you would still only be able to make so much because the demand is so high now. And another texter said that they're afraid that the virus will outlive the mask, will outlast the mask production.
I just find it impossible to believe that we can't produce a few million of these masks to get them to the nurses and the doctors and the first responders and the people that are dealing with this on the front line. To me, it's unfathomable that we can't make a few million of these and have them delivered to these places, these hospitals, within 48 hours. I can't believe it when you look at everything else we can do in this country.
Yeah. That's some insight for you. Like you said, we don't think about these things or that type of industry until times like this happen where you have to consider, you know.
Well, look, and coming up next, Generation X seems to be the demographic that's handling this the best. And we'll look into that and tell you why coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Here in New Orleans, where we're only behind New York City now when it comes to coronavirus cases per capita. And many people agree that it was Mardi Gras. You know, when you have, upwards of a million extra people coming into town over a couple of weeks from all over the world. That's the reason why. And earlier in the show, if you're just joining us, we talked about how our mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, was on CNN yesterday. She was on Wolf Blitzer blaming the president for not taking the coronavirus serious enough way back when. And if he did, and if he told her to cancel Mardi Gras, she would have. But wait a minute, you're the mayor of New Orleans, LaTaxta. So she was blaming the president for why New Orleans now is number two in America when it comes to coronavirus cases per capita.
I remember we was talking about that during Mardi Gras, that there were certain people that hate Mardi Gras so much that they leave the city. They're starting to look like heroes right about now. Remember we was talking about people that, those teachers look, that left the island.
I know, obviously I know a lot of New Orleanians, people from around here who absolutely love Mardi Gras,
mm-hmm.
but I know some New Orleanians and people who are from here who absolutely despise it and hate it. And every year during Mardi Gras, they go on vacation. They leave the city.
And when they came back, remember, they were told to stay home for 14 days.
Coleman. Well, today, the House of Representatives is supposed to agree to sign it and pass the United States Senate massive $2.2 trillion stimulus package for the American people. You know, the United States Senate passed it 96 to nothing. And I know we have 100 United States senators, but a few of them are quarantined right now, including Rand Paul. But you very rarely see something like that, 96 to nothing. The $2.2 trillion stimulus package to the American people, because our country has been put on hold. Our life as we know it has been put on hold, and we don't even know for how long. And it's financially devastating many businesses, many people. And when the federal government and local governments tell you, stay home, do not go to work, and stay off the streets, and even if you happen to be walking down the street, stay 6 feet away from people. It's absolutely financially destroying much of our society. So the people need this money. The businesses need this money. Actually, and unemployment is going to get a boost as well, because usually when you get unemployment, it's not that much, but they're going to add an extra $600.
That one escapes me too, the logic behind that.
The federal government is going to add $600 to each state's unemployment through this bill. It's supposed to be passed today by the United States Congress, the House of Representatives there. They're saying there may be one rogue person, that one congressman who may hold this up a little bit longer. He's a congressman from Kentucky. His name is Thomas Massie. And there are people saying that he may go rogue today and do what he has to do to hold this up. And I don't understand why he would do that, maybe to try to make a name for himself. But, I mean, I never heard of the guy until this morning. And this is not the way you want to hear of somebody or learn of someone's name when he's holding back money. Look, I'm no big fan of printing money like this. But at the same time, our country, as we know it, has stopped. It has stopped existing. And we're going to be reading about this history that we're living through right now. We're going to be reading about this for years to come in the history books. So hopefully the United States Congress will be able to get that thing signed and passed, and people could start getting their checks. And again, the checks, it would be $1,200 to each adult, each single adult who makes $75,000 a year or less. And it would be $2,400 for married couples who make $150,000 a year or less. And then if you have kids, it's an extra, $500 or $600 per kid. And how do they know how to get this to you? If you paid your taxes and you did your taxes last year, LaTax to Cantrell, for everybody who paid their taxes last year, they're going to look at your... Actually, what they're going to look at first, if you did your taxes this year, they're going to look and see how much money you made last year in 2019. So if you haven't done your taxes yet this year, get them done. Now, if you haven't gotten them done yet, they will then go and look at your taxes, tax returns from 2018, and they'll see how much money you make. And if you qualify, they will send you out a check. Now, for anybody who actually they will direct deposit the check to everybody that's filed their income taxes. They will direct deposit that money into your bank account.
So that adds another question. What if you don't have direct deposit? What if you still get an old-fashioned check?
It may take a couple of months.
Okay.
It may take a couple of months to get your money if they have to write it out, put it in an envelope, lick the envelope, get a stamp, address the envelope, and mail it to you. If they're using snail mail, they said it could take upwards of a couple of months.
Here's why I say that, because I always end up owing money to the federal government, which so I never really get anything into my direct deposit, which means I never had a reason for them to give them my direct deposit information. So the irony is, when I do get this check, I'm going to have to use that to pay my taxes anyway. So I don't think I have a direct deposit set up, because I always end up writing them a check instead of them writing me a check.
So, Coleman, this money you get will go right to paying your taxes.
Yeah, because apparently I'm not giving them enough money for the check that I get, so they're using the money that they take from me anyway to give back to me so I can give it back to them, if that makes sense.
Boy, oh boy. All right, coming up, I got to get to this Generation X story, because they're saying our generation, Generation X, and I think that's the majority of the people who listen to our radio station is Generation X. They're saying out of all the demographics, we're the ones who are handling this whole situation the best. That's coming up in The Dumbest Thing I Read All Week. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I'm Generation X. Coleman, I think you're Generation X too, even though we're on different parts of the Generation X spectrum.
No, I border on millennial, actually.
Well, Generation X is if you were born in between 1965 and 1980.
Millennial.
So you're just past that?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Generation Xers, they're handling coronavirus very well, and they're trending on social media, hashtag Gen X. It's because of how us Generation Xers, Coleman, are handling the coronavirus. Why is that? Why are Generation Xers handling the coronavirus better than other generations?
Alcohol and drugs.
Well, members of Generation X lived through things like the AIDS and crack epidemics, part of the civil rights movement, recessions. Many Gen Xers came of age at a time when For the first time in American history, many households had both parents leave the house to go to work. Latchkey kids growing up, and we learn how to fend for ourselves early and have lower expectations in terms of being taken care of. Generation Xers are also noted for a hardiness and ability to soldier on. Now, baby boomers, they're older, so they're the ones who are dying of this thing. And then you look at millennials like you, and then the generation under you are Generation Zers, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to be called the I generation because iPhones, iPods, and
is all that what they're going to be called?
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, the younger generations, they're offended by everything, and they freak out over everything. So you can't expect them to handle this very well. So that's why Generation Xers are...
I'm trying to find a point to argue, but when I look at the flow of history, you are... The logic is sound. It's absolutely correct.
Now, don't get me wrong. There are some mentally ill people in Generation X. There are some people that are off the rocker in Generation X, but I'm just talking about on the whole.
Yeah, but the ones who have the logical mind in Generation Xers have the wherewithal to carry those who aren't as, you know, well-versed in the brain area. So, y'all have the ability to fight for others and defend others and protect others, you know?
Well,
I give you that.
Coming up next on the show... It's the dumbest thing I read all week. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you, Monday through Thursday, it's the dumbest thing I read all day. Since it's Friday, it's the dumbest thing I read all week. But there are so many of them, and they're all related to the coronavirus. A runner-up was... You know, one of the people we talked about, one of the social media influencers who licked a toilet seat.
And it went
viral. Well, so did that influencer. That influencer got coronavirus, but because they're so young, they'll be sick for a couple of days, and then they'll be out running around licking toilet seats again and doing things on to get as many likes on social media as possible soon enough. That was a runner-up. But here's the dumbest thing that I read all week this morning. Man with phony detonator threatened to blow up the Orlando, Florida Police Department over coronavirus closures. A man called in a bomb threat to the Orlando, Florida Police Department the other day, threatening to blow up the agency's headquarters and other nearby buildings because people are being put out of work due to the coronavirus crisis. 28-year-old Justin Demoria Black.
You idiot.
Faces charges of false report of a bombing and unlawful use of a two-way communications device. That's the charge for threatening to blow up a police station?
And using a walkie-talkie?
Police did not find any explosives when they arrested him, according to the police report. Police said they later found out it was him, but police said a caller dialed 911 the other night, a couple of hours after the mayor of Orlando, Florida, announced a citywide and countywide stay-at-home order in response to the coronavirus pandemic. And he claimed to have four bombs. He said, quote, I'm going to blow up the Orlando Police Department. I'm going to blow up the 7-Eleven. I'm going to blow up.
7-Eleven?
I'm going to blow up. There was a car wash.
A car wash?
Yeah, I guess he was just upset. He was just going to.
That sounds oddly specific. A car wash, a 7-Eleven, and a police station.
Yeah, and he didn't tell the dispatcher who he was or where he was, but he said, when you hear explosions, just know I warned you all first. How dumb. Like the police had anything to do with the stay-at-home or everybody shut down because of the coronavirus situation.
That's what I was going with. Like, how did he relate the car wash and the 7-Eleven and the police station to the fact that he has to stay inside? But didn't it is Florida, so.
I know. Well, again, this is a Florida story.
Dude, are we 5 for 5 this week in Florida stories?
Could be.
Dumbest things?
With dumbest thing. I think it might be. we may as well just change the name of the bit from the dumbest thing I read all morning to this morning in Florida.
I'll pass that by superiors and see what they think.
And how dare he blow up a 7-Eleven, one of the few places that is actually open that you could go in and get a Big Gulp or a Slurpee.
In a car wash?
Yeah, how dare he? Anyways, man with phony detonator who threatened to blow up the Orlando, Florida Police Department over the coronavirus closure. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Here on the John Osterlin Morning Show in New Orleans on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You see who died? Curly Neal died at 77 years old. In my opinion, he was the second most famous Harlem Globetrotter behind Meadowlark Lemon. Curly Neal played for 22 years for the Harlem Globetrotters. From 1963 to 1985, he played in more than 6,000 games, and he was undefeated. He never lost. Incredible.
That's some good stats right there.
We're in 97 different countries, and he was most known for his dribbling, his ball handling. An incredible ball handler. Sure, if you looked him up, some of his videos on YouTube and such, Curly Neal was fantastic. And it's funny because he was always bald, and I think that's how he got the nickname Curly.
Wow, I'm looking at one of the videos. He's a better ball handler than Freddie Mercury and Boy George combined. He got some handles.
And what's interesting is a couple of weeks ago, I played with the Harlem Globetrotters down in Houma at the Civic Center down there. And boy. And it made me think of Curly Neal. Well, he died in Houston, Texas, at the age of 77. And he's one of only 5 Harlem Globetrotters to have his number retired. He was number 22, and he played 22 seasons for the Harlem Globetrotters. So, R.I.P. Fred Curly Neal. Dead at the age of 77. Hey, it's our commercial free ride here on the John Osterlin Morning Show on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.